एक मिनट रुक जाओ, रेडी होने दो। चलो ये कर लेते हैं, दिस कुड बी अ ग्रेट इंट्रो।
हाय, आई एम अक्षय।
हाय, दिस इज सौरभ एंड यू आर लिसनिंग टू द फाउंडर थीसिस पॉडकास्ट। वी मीट सम ऑफ द मोस्ट सेलिब्रेटेड स्टार्टअप फाउंडर्स इन द कंट्री
एंड वी वांट टू लर्न हाउ टू बिल्ड अ यूनिकॉर्न।
Hi, I am Ankit Prasad, founder and CEO at Bobble AI.
I'm sure you have heard of the ant who climbed and fell 19 times only to finally reach the goal on the 20th attempt, which inspired the ruler Taimur to conquer Delhi. This metaphor also perfectly fits the protagonist of our podcast, Ankit Prasad. Ankit is the founder of Bobble.ai, which started life as a social media platform aspiring to become what Instagram is today, which then pivoted into the Bobble app that allowed users to create and share emojis on WhatsApp, which then morphed into a full-stack keyboard platform that today powers brands like Xiaomi and others to provide a superior typing experience to users while opening up a monetization stream for them. Today, Bobble is reportedly worth $100 million and within 1 year has grown its monthly revenue run rate to 10 times. Here's Ankit telling Akshay Dutt about growing up in Jamshedpur and his journey of building Bobble.
Hi, I am Ankit Prasad, founder and CEO at Bobble AI.
So, Ankit, what is home for you? Like, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small city in Jharkhand. It's called Jamshedpur. Although I was born in Chaibasa, which is a small town nearby Jamshedpur.
Okay. Your father was in Tata? Yeah, like.
No.
The stereotype, and Jamshedpur, you think sab log Tata mein hoge.
So there is another important. Organization in Jamshedpur. It's NIT Jamshedpur. So my father is a professor there.
Okay. So you grew up with a very strong academic focus, I guess. Being the son of a professor, I guess, so academics must have always been first priority.
I won't say that. I was fortunate to get the flexibility and independence to try out things that I love. And that also reflects on the fact that I had dropped out from my IIT Delhi engineering course, right? Engineering degree. So there was no pressure at such from the family side.
Well, you slogged to get into IIT. I'm sure apne classes joined kari hongi to clear the entrance and all. So, matlab fir uske baad itni major achievement ke baad usko apne chhod kyun diya?
Good question. I think entrepreneurship ka keeda bachpan se hi tha. So when I, in fact, I started my first venture when I was in my class 10. IIT isliye nikalna tha kyunki baki sare log nikal rahe the aas paas ke.
Class 10th mein kya venture kiya tha, uske bare mein batao.
It was a web design and development agency. Sort of a thing wherein we used to take projects from local hotels or, Jamshedpur is an industrial town. So there are so many industries out there. We used to take local projects and design, develop and maintain websites for them.
Huh, okay. And this was like very clearly just a pocket money gig. You thought ke isi ko hi main bada karunga, ya kya tha matlab?
And I was pretty serious about it until I got into IIT Delhi and got real exposure of product startups, which were creating much larger impact. I realized, the service business I was on to, probably that was not matching with my aspirations and goals.
So IIT, mein, you were doing both, yeah? Like you were studying also and you were still running this web development business.
I was running this web development business. In fact, I got a lot of clients from IIT because there were so many other startups which were getting launched during that time. I'm talking about 2008, 2009, 2010. times, and everybody needed some sort of help on technology side, product development, software, etc. And I was able to provide those services, and I was happy about it. I used to think of myself as a smarter person.
You got into IIT in 2008. Like that was the year you joined.
That's right. So I used to think that the other people who are doing startups might fail, but I am making my money by providing them the service. But then eventually I was proved wrong. People created the likes of Zomato's and Flipkart, and I was still doing the service business.
Did you work with any of these? Like, which were some of the companies that you built software for? Like,
yes, I worked with many actually. I don't know if all the names I should be able to take, but all the major startups, you know, the ones who are successful and who are and who got shut down, both kind of startups. I played a significant role as an intern or as an initial technology team member or as a consultant.
Okay.
Yeah, so that gave me the exposure to start on my own.
And when did you start? Like 8 mein aapne join kiya phir?
Well, I joined various tech startups during that time. Worked with them, learned the dynamics of startup ecosystem, the fundraisers, etc. It was new to me. It was new to most of the people in India at that time. In 2011, November 2011, I started this venture on pen and paper. In April 2012, we registered it formally.
Which venture was that? What was your first venture?
Yeah, it wasn't the first venture, it was second actually.
Second, first was the web service.
Second one that I registered myself, otherwise I would have had worked with multiple other startups before that. We called it Talent Unlimited Online Services. The reason being we wanted to promote the creativity and the talent of individuals. So our aspiration was to create a platform wherein we, you know, creative people could come together, showcase their creativity, network with like-minded people, you know, monetize their creativity and so on.
Was it somewhat like LinkedIn? It sounds like it has some commonality.
Yeah, we wanted to create Instagram actually. Instagram was not there at that point of time. But we wanted to create something like Instagram of today. But we ended up creating an Etsy, which is a marketplace for art that didn't match with our aspirations. And eventually we made a pivot.
Okay. What did you pivot into?
Yeah, so we continued with testtalent.com since 2012 till 2015. End of 2014, that's when we realized that mobile space is growing exponentially while the web is becoming stagnant, while my forte was all web-related technologies. So, you know, we decided to make a pivot to something that could add value into the daily life of smartphone users. We went to the drawing board and we realized that there are two reasons primarily for which people buy smartphones. One was conversations, be it textual conversations or voice-based conversation or video conversations. And the second one was to click pictures, camera. Okay. So we wanted to innovate on these two fronts, and we wanted to build something that can be used by each and every individual, that can go into each and every smartphone. So in 2015, early 2015, we came up with this concept of bobblehead. You just take a selfie and we create a nice cartoonified version of yourself with your own face, your expressions, your accessories, your custom message, and then you can create thousands of stickers, GIFs, and emojis out of out of that bobblehead, and you can share it. You can use it during your WhatsApp or Facebook or Instagram conversations. Right. So the vision was to enhance the smartphone conversation experience, making it much more expressive.
With a personalized emoji.
Yes, that's right. So this is how we started Bobble.
So your entire team stayed with you, or like this was a new venture and you shut down the previous venture?
No, the entire team, the entire set of investors, everybody remained. We did not shut down the previous venture. So we don't accept failures. That's how I can put it. We will pivot. We will pivot. We'll dodge. We'll work around. But we won't accept failure.
So you had like VCs backing the talent idea,
right,
which you were working. And how did you get funding? Well, you must have been like just like 20 something. So how did you actually, like, you know, walk into a room with much older VCs and convince them to back you?
It was difficult, I must say. In 2012, when we were creating testtalent.com, it was social network sort of an idea which was not seen in India, right? While VCs were mostly focusing on more fundamental problems in India, right? More infrastructural problems, be it e-commerce, be it logistics, and so on. While we were building something which was not considered as a fundamental problem, although we believe that it's a fundamental problem for people to connect and converse and network, right? But for VCs, it was not. And most importantly, this idea did not have any business model associated to it. It was just a product. Right, a social network, a product, which was promising because there were so many users using it every day. So therefore, there was a promise, but there was no certainty around it. Right, at which, how do we monetize this platform? So it was difficult, but fortunately, we got support from some of the veteran entrepreneurs in this space. Be it the Sachin and Vinny Bansal, both the founders of Flipkart, or be it Deep Kalra, the founder of Make My Trip, or Amit Ranjan, the founder of SlideShare, who sold to LinkedIn, be it the founders of 1MG, HealthCart, Gaurav Garwal and Prashant Tandon, or the founder of LimeRoad, Prashant Malik, who also created Facebook Messages and Apache Cassandra database. And there were so many other, there were 18 angel investors who came together to invest into our company.
This was through the IIT network, or like, you know, how did you?
Some of it was through the IIT network. Some of it was through mutual connects or through references. Some of it was also through Let's Venture, which was the syndicate platform. So there were 18 angel investors in total. They came together because they had seen how startup ecosystem in US was evolving at that point of time, and they were they had a firm belief that something similar would happen in India. And these individuals, being, you know, visionary and have created some tangible businesses in the past. After their interest, VC's interest started coming in.
Okay. And how much did you raise in your angel round? Well, obviously, the numbers would have been very, very small compared to today. But
yeah, that's right. In that time, numbers were really small. Our first round in 2013. In 2013, it was just 20 lakhs. While in 2014, we did another angel round along with a VC, which is SAF Partners, and it was a 4 crore round.
Okay. And what was the monetization that you was it like ads, like based on the regular social media model, or what was it?
No, there was no monetization model as such.
नहीं वो आपके पिच में कुछ तो आपने डाला होगा ना जब आपने वीसी को पिच किया तो.
We used to say कि पहले हम प्रोडक्ट बनाएंगे, पहले जनता आएगी यूज करेगी, हम वैल्यू क्रिएट करेंगे, वैल्यू कैप्चर की बाद में सोचेंगे.
ओके. But I think आज के दिन you know, I think most VCs would want an answer to the monetization first.
ऐसा नहीं है. I mean, it depends from category to category. Depends on which category you're operating. Even today, ShareChat doesn't make, you know, they make peanuts, right? And if you look at ShareChat's deck 2 years ago, probably you will not find any monetization model in it, right? So, so it depends from category to category. Even today, there are so many startups who are raising funds in the vernacular content space. They don't have any business model as such.
Okay.
But yes, if you are doing an e-commerce or logistics business, you definitely need a concrete business model at the first place.
Okay. So I also want to understand why you got disillusioned with the original idea. Matlab, you felt ke mobile bad rahe, so you could have also built a mobile version of Touch Talent only.
We did that. Did a good job there. We gathered 1 million users in our first 6 months of mobile app launch. And it was growing, but then we were force fitting the Touch Talent web features onto mobile. That was the first mistake we did. Secondly, our team did not have the DNA of mobile first, right? So we should have probably brought team members who have had created mobile technologies in the past. It was a learning experience for us. And the fact that the platform was positioned in the wrong manner, it was our mistake.
In what way was it wrong?
People started considering it as a platform for a marketplace for art product, right? So if you want to buy painting or an animation or something, you can go to Touch Talent. Or if you want to hire an artist, you can go to Touch Talent. So that was the positioning we got from the market. But we wanted to build something like Instagram. India had not seen anything like Instagram before, right? So it was difficult for them to imagine. We were too early, I would say, in that space. Today, I can see that there are a number of platforms who are doing good in the same space. They started late. They did very good. So it was a conscious call we took. We realized that, you know, we have to go really hands-on.
So, isme kya metrics aapko dikh rahe the? I'm sorry, I'm spending a lot of time on this, but... I think it's isme jyada learning hoti hai to understand what made you want to stop an idea and start a new one. So usme aapko kya metrics dikh rahe the in which you felt ke ye nahi chalne wala, we need to pivot? You must have seen some symptoms na ke ye nahi chalne wala, to wo kya symptoms the?
I think one of the symptom was growth. I would say the growth was fluctuating. It was not consistent, you know. It was sinusoidal growth, you know, just like a sine curve on
that's going up and down, a wave ki tarah se.
So that was one of the reason we for a platform like that, people expect it to grow exponentially with network effect, right? The other mistakes, there were many mistakes with it, actually. The other mistakes we did were, instead of focusing on a particular geography, we made it open for the world. And we were taking pride of the fact that there were people from more than 10 countries who used to visit Touch Talent every day. Right? So I think these are some of the mistakes. Instead of focusing on a smaller geography and creating a network effect there, we scattered the user base all over. Right, we prematurely started introducing monetization. When I say monetization, I mean people who are there on the platform should be able to monetize their creativity, not us. So we started prematurely integrating, you know, building those monetization features for our users.
Like a shop front, like people could list products.
Yeah, right. Something similar. And that also backfired. The entire positioning got hurt. And the very fact that, you know, the platform was imagined to be a web platform. So all the features and all the functionalities were designed keeping in mind that people are going to access it from their laptop or from their desktops. When we started working on the mobile app, you know, we started force-fitting those existing features into the app. If we had to relaunch Test Talent on mobile, we would have done it very, very differently. Right? So that was the reason which forced us to go to the drawing board again. And we decided to make a hard pivot. It was a risky decision for us because we just had 6 months of runway left. We were not monetizing. There was no revenue. There was no commitment from investors.
Okay. Did you have co-founders?
Yes. So I had Mohammed Wasim, who was our co-founder. And today he's running a different venture. It's called Easy Eat in Malaysia.
Okay. But he was like a batchmate or something?
No. He was 10 years senior to me. Not from IIT Delhi, but we met through a common connect in IIT.
Okay. Got it. So, yeah, please continue. Sorry. So you had like 6 months of runway, no guarantee that investors will back the new idea that you were planning.
Yes. But we were very confident on it because we did our initial set of user research and we figured out that people need something like that. People love expression during their conversation. We just had to make it seamless and personalized. We came up with some ideas that really worked in our favor. But before that, in February, when we released the first version of Bobble, it sucked. I mean, people did not appreciate the product at all because it was all buggy. I mean, it didn't work on so many Android devices. It used to crash. But one good thing we learned from that experiment was that people love the concept of having personalized stickers. They appreciated the concept. They didn't like the product. It was a clear-cut direction for us. We improvised on the product. We created something that worked on all the phones. And we relaunched it in March, end of March 2015 with a hack. The hack was we used to show a widget on top of WhatsApp. Whenever you open WhatsApp, you see a circular widget on top of it from where people could share their personalized content on WhatsApp. And so we made it a seamless experience. Instead of closing your WhatsApp conversation and going to some other application to bring content, now you can get the content right on WhatsApp. And so it was a good hack that really worked in our favor. And we started adding 1 million users every two months or so.
Wow.
This was in 2015, you know, April, May, June, etc. And then in August, SAF partners committed to invest in Series A.
Okay. And how much was that round?
It was a $3 million round.
Okay. So your first version of the Bobble app, what was it like? It was essentially just like a selfie camera which you click a photo and then you have some option to edit and like create the final emoji.
Right. And then the same Bobble head can be used to create multiple sets of stickers, GIFs and stories. These are available on your WhatsApp through that widget and you can share it with your friends and family members. You can customize it on the go. So that was the initial idea, user-generated content or rather let's say conversational content, right? And since WhatsApp didn't have any expressive feature, right?
Right. Yeah. It didn't. Okay.
Today it does have all of these features integrated into WhatsApp UI, but you know, in 2015 it did not.
Okay. So how did the user acquisition happen? Did you advertise, or was it purely like, you know, it became viral?
It became viral because we did not have the money to advertise at that point of time. I said we had 6 months of runway left, out of which 3 months was already invested into product creation. Right? So clearly we did not have any money to advertise. But rather, you know, there was another hack. So one hack was getting into WhatsApp UI through that widget. And the other hack was every time the content gets shared, there was a bubble watermark in a corner. It made the receivers understand where the source of the content is, and they used to find us by searching for us on Play Store or Google search.
Okay. And the downloads were like from which country? Was it largely India or was it global?
Yeah, it was India. It was India because all our content were Indic in nature. You know, kya hal hai, and this type of content.
If you like to hear stories of founders, then we have tons of great stories from entrepreneurs who have built billion-dollar businesses. Just search for the Founder Thesis podcast on any audio streaming app like Spotify, Gaana, Apple Podcasts, and subscribe to the show.
So then what? You have a product in which people can make emojis. So, you know, how did things evolve after that? And Saif also put in Series A. Mein. So
yeah, again, the Series A was also, you know, it was difficult because, again, we did not have a revenue stream as such, right? We just had a product which was gaining traction. There was no revenue and there was no plan of revenue. Yet we were able to convince the partners that, you know, we are definitely creating some value into the user's life, and that is why people are organically finding us and using our product. I'm sure we'll be able to capture the value at some point in time. With that faith, Saif had invested. And but then there was a sudden surprise came from Android side. It was early 2016 when Android scrapped the API that we were using to show our widget on WhatsApp. As I had mentioned, it was a hack. The API got scraped. Not because of us, but because of some...
Facebook also used this, na? Facebook Messenger ka bhi hota tha. A similar widget.
Sort of. But Facebook Messenger ka generic widget tha. Jab bhi message aata tha, toh wo dekhne lag jata tha. Hamara specific to WhatsApp tha. Ki jab bhi WhatsApp open hota tha, tab dikhta tha.
Okay.
Otherwise, people will get frustrated with the experience. Ki agar hamara widget hamesha dikhai dega to. तो हमें पता नहीं चल रहा था कि WhatsApp ओपन कब हुआ बिकॉज Android had scrapped that API. ये हमारे लिए एक बड़ा सरप्राइज की तरह आया. The widget got disappeared from WhatsApp. People started blaming us. They didn't know that it was Android. People started giving us bad reviews, uninstalling our application, and you know, all of a sudden we lost whole majority of our user base. We had gathered, if I remember correctly, 7-8 million users by early 2016. It all went down to less than a million.
Okay. As in uninstalls ho gaye ya active users aap bata rahe ho?
Haan, uninstalls ho gaye sare.
Wow. Okay.
So, ye hamare liye ek bada surprise tha. Fortunately, we had a runway because we had recently raised the fund. We started looking out for new opportunities. You know, how do we come out of a situation which is which is A, externally induced, where we don't have any control, and B, which is the core experience that we had built. People were loving us for that core experience of seamless content sharing on WhatsApp. If that core experience was no more there, then they don't bother about Bobble, right? So we, fortunately, we landed up into new set of APIs that was open by Android in the same OS version. So while they scrapped some of the APIs, they opened new set of APIs, which was keyboard API. And fortunately, right at the same time, iOS also opened those keyboard APIs for third-party developers. Earlier, it wasn't there. Right? So keyboard was Android open source project keyboard that typically phone manufacturers used to preload in their phones. Now keyboard was being democratized. There were APIs available for third-party developers. We quickly grabbed that opportunity and built a keyboard that could share stickers, GIFs, and emojis. This was the first time any keyboard in the world had come up with stickers integrated natively into it. It made all the difference. People again appreciated the concept. They loved the concept, but they hated the product itself.
Why is that?
Because keyboard is a difficult product to build. Not anyone and everyone can build it. It's a product that requires extensive research around language technologies, around typing experience, hygiene, stability, and it's an application. It's a service that is used across application, right? Whether you're on WhatsApp or Uber or Amazon, you're using your keyboard. The compatibility needs to be ensured and all of those things. So it's a complex product to build.
Okay. And keyboard ki jo wo predictive wo hoti hai, suggestions and autocorrect.
It requires another set of R&D around it.
So wo sara you have to build from scratch? Are there like...
Pehle version mein to kuch bhi nahi tha. It was just a plain vanilla keyboard with content sharing functionalities. People loved the loved the concept. They hated the product that gave us the direction. We started working on the keyboard, core of the keyboard. And we thought if we have to survive, we have to crack keyboard.
And your co-founder was with you also, like by this time, or had he left?
Yes, he was there.
Still with you. Okay. And how much runway did you have at this time? Like, when you started keyboard project?
We had decent runway. We were prudent in investing, in spending money, and therefore we had decent runway. So there was no financial risk as such, but the risk was from the technology side, whether we can crack keyboard as a product. It was difficult. So we started focusing on keyboard experience. We started building all of those technology in-house, be it word suggestion, autocorrect, swipe typing, speech-to-text, languages and whatnot. Everything was built in-house. Our motivation level did not go down simply because there was a lot happening in the keyboard space. When we were tracking it, we realized that Google itself entered into the keyboard space in 2016 August with Google Gboard as a core product, right? Microsoft acquired SwiftKey in the same time, similar months, for $250 million. Baidu launched Facemoji keyboard outside China for global audiences in the similar months, late 2016. So there was a lot happening in the keyboard space, and that kept our motivation high. That made us think that probably we have landed into a large opportunities which only the larger tech giants can see right now. Probably there is a reason why Android and iOS opened keyboard APIs in 2016.
This Baidu's Facemoji would have been like a direct competitor to Bobble keyboard.
Yeah, everyone was Google Gboard, Microsoft SwiftKey, Baidu Facemoji, TouchPal.
But in terms of positioning, like SwiftKey had like a different positioning. No? That was probably more about speed of typing or.
So that's right. So Baidu's keyboard was earlier called Simeji keyboard, and you can probably check on the internet that their product was called Simeji keyboard in China and Japan. But in India, when they came, they partnered with us to get a face technology, bobblehead technology. And that's why they renamed their keyboard to Facemoji keyboard. That's how the name came into being. But then eventually, they did not respect the agreement. They moved out and created and launched their own keyboard, but they retained the name. So that's how Baidu's Facemoji came into being in India. Having said that, we were not worried. We had our own journey. We were very confident on our tech strength. We continued investing time and resources on R&D. And in 2017, we had surpassed all other keyboard in terms of engagement, be it sessions, time spent, or DAO by MAU ratio, or retention.
What is this DAO by MAU ratio?
DAU by MAU, so daily active user divided by monthly active user. It's one of the KPIs for a consumer product.
But what's the rule of thumb for that? Like there must be some rule of thumb, na? Ki DAO by MAU itta hona chahiye. What does it show?
It depends from category to category. In general, for other categories, I would say a 20% DAO by MAU is considered very good.
Okay, which means 20% of your user base uses it every day.
Yes, sort of,
They say like WhatsApp ka DAO by MAU would be like 95% or something.
Probably, I'm not sure, but probably. In our case, it was around, I think, 65-70% at that time. Today, it is now it has increased to 85%. In any case, so all of these metrics, whatever numbers we had, was the best in the industry. Even the app rating was the highest. And even today, we hold our command on all of these engagement, retention, and rating and NPS score metrics as the best in the industry. Now, while we had cracked product, and now people were loving our keyboard experience and the fact that there is a content integrated into that keyboard. Earlier, no other keyboard had any content in it. Today, you'll see most of them has. In 2017, towards the end, this was the time when we had cracked the product, but the scale was not there. We had hardly, maybe 500,000 keyboard users. Not more than that, right? So this the scale was not getting cracked, though we have cracked the product experience. The reason being, there was less awareness amongst the users that they can literally switch their keyboard in their smartphone, right? So they used to believe that whatever keyboard has come as default is the one that they are supposed to use.
And itna easy bhi nahi hai na keyboard change karna, matlab
thoda mushkil hai.
Which is like a deliberate move by Google, na, so that people don't.
For Google, for Android, it's easier. For iOS, it's even tougher. Android kept on making it easier because Google Gboard was another third-party keyboard product they had to publicize. But iOS kept it complex. Probably deliberately, I don't know. Now we needed to crack scale. This is when we entered into a new phase in our journey. We started partnerships with smaller phone manufacturers. It be it Lava or Panasonic or Xiaomi and Indus OS, Micromax, etc. At that time, and we started preloading our keyboard as the default keyboard. This gave us the captive audience who got more time to explore our features and feel connected and become a retained user. And then we were able to build a business case that our keyboard works amazingly well when it is preloaded into an OEM, into a device, right? But we were somehow not able to crack any of the large OEMs. The reason being, since there were so many other tech giants in the industry who had built their own keyboard, they were paying these OEMs a large sum of money for preloading.
Right. And Samsung had their own keyboard, no?
No, Samsung had licensed it from SwiftKey. So while it is a white label license, therefore you would see Samsung keyboard, but it is actually a SwiftKey.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
No other phone manufacturer except Apple has their own keyboard. No other. Out of 180 Android manufacturers out there, zero Android manufacturer has built their own keyboard. It's because it is difficult to build, and they need to focus on more important aspects of the device, be it LED screen or camera quality or voice quality, but they don't need to do everything on their own. And the fact that they were easily getting keyboard software from other players in the market, and they were getting paid for it. Google was paying them. Microsoft was paying them.
Yeah, then why reinvent the wheel? Huh.
Exactly. But it was difficult for us because we did not have the money to pay. Right? So our scale was questionable, whether we can beat others in this scale. Although we have created a good product, but that doesn't mean that we will win the game. So this is when we started thinking in 2018. The entire 2018 was invested into understanding the OEM space, the different relationships between Google and OEMs and Microsoft and OEMs, and figuring out what values they need that we could have built and offered, etc., etc. Eventually, in 2019, we cracked the deal with Xiaomi. Right? And this was our biggest win because Xiaomi had already become the number one player in India.
And cracked a deal in the same terms, like you were paying them for it, or like what?
We cracked a deal which is more strategic and deeper in nature, wherein they also invested into our company and we created a co-branded keyboard called Mint Keyboard for Xiaomi devices, which has much deeper integration with MIUI operating system. And there's a revenue share arrangement, you know, whatever revenue we generate, we share with them, etc. But there was no upfront payment that needed to be done from our side.
Okay, so revenue, kab figure out hua? Apne revenue ke abhi tak baat nahi kari hai, like,
हाँ तो उस समय जैसे Xiaomi की डील हुई थी उस समय रेवेन्यू शेयर की अरेंजमेंट हुई थी बट रेवेन्यू नहीं था तो Xiaomi ट्रस्टेड अस दे ट्रस्टेड आवर टीम आवर कैपेबिलिटीज दे न्यू बिकॉज़ Xiaomi इन इट्स हार्ट इज अ प्रोडक्ट फोकस्ड कंपनी यू नो दे केयर फॉर देयर प्रोडक्ट एक्सपीरियंस अ लॉट एंड दे न्यू दैट दिस प्रोडक्ट वाज गुड वाज बेटर देन एवरीबॉडी एल्स दे आल्सो न्यू दैट वी आर अ स्टार्टअप विद चैलेंजेस वी कैन नॉट invest money into distribution. So they came out as a savior for us, I would say. And
how much did they invest?
They invested another $3 million.
Okay. So far Bobble is running on funding only, no revenue figured out yet.
No, now we are generating revenue in the later part of the
so far, meaning like 2019 ki baat kar
raha hu. That's right, we were not having any revenue till 2019. Revenue you would see on ROC portal probably would be from the mutual fund investments, etc. that we park our funding rounds, right? I mean, there's no operational revenue as such.
Right.
After cracking Xiaomi, things became even clearer to us. What we want, how we want to execute it, and what does OEM wants, etc. And then,
so tell me about that. Like, what became clear to you?
It's a secret sauce, actually. Why OEMs?
मैं किसी को नहीं बताऊंगा. I promise.
So they OEMs prefer to work with us, not Google, because we offer them certain values which Google cannot offer. It's just not in their hands. because of the historical baggage and being a corporate, large corporate, you know, they have certain limitations which we don't, right? So we,
like, you can do deeper integration, like you said, with the My UI.
So we can do customization and deeper integrations, right? We don't have one single brand. We are a multi-branded portfolio of keyboard products, while Google has one single brand Gboard. So Gboard, when it goes to Xiaomi, it is called Gboard. When it goes to Samsung, it is called Gboard. Even in Oppo, it's called Gboard. But in our case, it's different. We call it Mint keyboard in Xiaomi and other keyboards in other products, right? So,
and user ko ye lagta hai ki Mint keyboard Xiaomi ka khud ka product hai.
Sort of. So branding, co-branding, you know, customization of the product for every geography, every user segment, for high-end phone, for low-end phone, etc. Revenue sharing is another value proposition, you know, which is unmatchable.
But revenue from where? Like,
abhi tak, it's like story mein ab tak revenue aaya nahi, aage aayega. So we were still in our distribution phase. So from product R&D phase, we graduated to the distribution phase. Right? In Touch Talent, we remained in the product R&D phase. We never could graduate into higher distribution. In Bobble, we graduated into distribution, and then we started getting very good traction with the help of Xiaomi and other telecom operators and OEM partners. We were getting really, really good traction. Every month, we were adding so many users. And all of them were captive users. Now was the time to monetize. Right? So we have a very good product, highly engaging, retaining, viral, very good traction in terms of user base, which is fast increasing. Then we started thinking about monetization in 2020, especially after COVID, when we realized that pata nahi funding milegi, beginning milegi. So we started building some revenue streams. This is the time when we got in touch with Affle India Limited, which is a listed company in the mobile marketing domain. They were doing fairly well in the edtech sector. So we partnered with them, and they did a strategic investment into our company, and with a promise to facilitate monetization. Okay. We came up with three different revenue streams. Actually, the fourth one is an experimental one, so therefore we don't quote it. But there are actually four revenue streams based upon four different assets that the company is generating. The first asset that we generate is the content sharing, which is right from the beginning. People love sharing our stickers, chips, and emojis. Right? So that's that content sharing is an asset for us, and we monetize it by including brands into those relevant pieces of content. Just imagine I talk to you, I send you a sticker saying, let's go out for a coffee, and then there is a Starbucks branding in that sticker. Right? Or let's go party, and there is a Kingfisher branding in that sticker. Right? Something of that sort. So I'm just keeping it in short. Right? So there's a lot of story behind this model itself. But this model is what we call as conversation media marketing. Very similar to social media marketing, but social media marketing where, you know, you have public you know, public platforms where people display themselves in a publicly manner. But in case of conversation media marketing, it happens during one-to-one, one-to-few intimate conversations on WhatsApp, Telegram, Signal, Instagram Direct, etc. We created this new category called conversation media marketing. Is going really well for us. You can check out various clients we have worked with in the past in our website.
Who are some of the major clients? Like,
I mean, you name it and we have them. So we work with Mondelez, which has Oreo cookies and Cadbury Dairy Milk Silk. We work with ITC, which has Sunfish Yippie Noodles. We work with United Breweries, Kingfisher. We work with Adidas, Reebok, like sports brands. We work with apps like Tinder and Zomato, etc.
Okay, and largely India based.
India, yeah. This model is right now in India.
But your users are also largely in India, or
Right now, it's largely in India, but you know, now we have hedged our risk and have expanded into Indonesia and Southeast Asia, other geographies. But mostly it's India because of our historical presence in India. Conversation media marketing is a huge success for us. It's a new category we are creating, which monetizes the content sharing asset, which is generated from our keyboard experience. The second experience that we, the second asset that we generate as a company is the engagement. So you use keyboard during App Store searches or Amazon searches or searching for pizza on Zomato or, you know, putting in your location on Uber, etc. So while you are, doing those use cases in your smartphone, keyboard is in foreground, and therefore keyboard has the ability to recommend you the products and services and offers around those use cases right at the time when you need it. So if you're using Bobble keyboard, if you open Amazon and search for something, you might get a recommendation from keyboard saying, you know, you can get the same thing from Flipkart at 10% off.
But वो दिखती कैसे है, मतलब वो कीबोर्ड में ऊपर एक बार आ जाता है या?
हाँ, कीबोर्ड के ऊपर एक प्रॉम्प्ट आता है, right? Or let's say you are searching for food delivery app on Play Store, then keyboard will recommend you, why don't you download Zomato and Swiggy, something like that. So
and is it like a very small unobtrusive thing or is it big?
Yes, it's absolutely non-intrusive. You can choose to switch it off if you don't like the feature.
ठीक है, got it. ये keyboard में भी थोड़ा similar है where they recommend emojis.
They recommend emojis, but we do recommend emojis, but we do recommend products and services and offers as well.
ठीक है, मतलब वो based on the context your recommendation would be.
Exactly, and that's why we call this business model as contextual recommendation business.
Okay, got it. Take
care. Right. So the first one was conversation media marketing business, monetizing the content sharing. The second one is contextual recommendation business, monetizing the engagement. The third one is the data, the intelligence that we capture across smartphone usage and the understanding that we develop around that consumer. Across smartphone usage is then used to facilitate something called programmatic advertising. And you can read more about it in our website, how we process the audience data in our DMP in a GDPR compliant manner. We create audience segments, which is then bid upon by advertisers, and advertisers get to target them on some other platform. So just imagine, you know, you search for pizza on Zomato and then you went to Hotstar, started watching an IPL match. And during the IPL match, you started seeing an ad from Domino's. So that happened because Bobble AI was able to facilitate that relevance of advertising through a programmatic advertising channel.
And this is where the Apple deal... Are all of these are facilitated by Apple? Like
not all of these, but yes, the contextual recommendation is entirely facilitated by Apple right now. They have exclusivity on that business model. While the data intelligence business, programmatic advertising business is facilitated by Apple, but not entirely. They have licensed some ad tech infrastructure to us to be able to run this business. Conversation media marketing is entirely in-house.
Apple also helps you get clients? Like, do they introduce you to their client base also?
They are our investors, right? So we have a vested interest. It's a natural expectation to access each other's network. The fourth asset that our company generates is the technology itself. So the keyboard platform, as I mentioned earlier, it's a highly complex platform, very tough to build. Whatever we have built is proprietary, is patent pending, and can be unbundled from the keyboard and can be provided to non-competing businesses in the form of a license, right? So we are working with some clients wherein we are licensing our content technologies, our language technologies, transliteration, translation, and so on.
What all have you built, like, technology-wise? I think you obviously, like, in your language technology, it would be like autocorrect and...
Yeah, that's the bare minimum you can expect, but there's a lot more to it. In fact, you know, I would want the audience to also check our website. In the tech licensing section, you will see various technologies listed there. Just to quote a few important ones, the first and the most important one is the selfie to bobblehead technology. If you want to make your game expressive and you want the player to become you know, the character of the game, you can do that using our bobblehead API. Right? Or for that matter, you know, our localized GIF repository can be accessed through GIF APIs. If you want your platform to have localized experience, you can source GIFs from us. You know, if you want your platform to support transliteration or Indic languages or speech to text in Indic languages, etc., then you can borrow the language technologies from us. Yeah, APIs and SDKs both are available. Then there is a whole new experience around conversational banking that we have created.
What is that?
So basically, making payments and financial services accessible across smartphone usage. So if I'm on WhatsApp, I might want to make a payment. Today WhatsApp supports payment, but you know, if you want to avail loan, then WhatsApp doesn't support loan. You can do all of those things from your keyboard. There are platforms where you might generate an intent to make a payment or to execute a financial service. Such platforms are not support. For example, if I'm chatting with somebody on let's say on Instagram direct, then I could access my financial services from my keyboard and so on. There's a whole new section of conversational banking which is developed by us in partnership with HCL Innovation Lab. HCL Technology is our alliance partner to distribute this technology amongst their clientele banks across the world.
So this is like it carries the branding of the bank then. So for example, it would be install ICICI keyboard.
Something like that, yes.
Okay, theek hai, got it. Okay. And like, how has the revenue journey been so far? Like, you know, 2020 you started, so...
Yeah, 2020 August, when we raised our funds, we were making $10,000 a month. You know, we closed our financial year March 2021 with $100,000 a month. So almost 10x rise in revenue in just 9 months. It's growing further. I mean, it's growing in leaps and bounds. Now that we have entered into monetization phase with entirely focused approach and monetization, we have built our business team, hired a chief business officer, and so on. So now we have our revenues are growing very fast.
And how much did you raise from Apple?
It was $6 million in two rounds.
Okay. So what is now the valuation of Bobble? Is that like public, that number?
That's not public, you know, but I can probably say that it's closer to $100 million.
Amazing. Okay. And why did your co-founder leave?
So it happened in, you know, in 2019, just before the Xiaomi investment happened. After creating a very good product, we were not able to distribute it, given the competition from Google and Microsoft. It was a tough time for us. We were not generating revenue, so the accounts were, how do I put it? Accounts khali ho rahe the, dheere dheere. So there's a limit to it. Right? Many team members left us during that time because it was difficult to survive, I would say. We had seen really tough times when we did not have the money to pay salaries, etc. So this was the time when Wasim also decided to move on and create another startup in Malaysia. He wanted to move to Malaysia, get married there, settle there. So it was his. It was a decision that was taken in consensus. We helped him move out, and when Xiaomi investment happened, we also gave him a decent cash exit with some upside with the in the form of shares in the company.
Okay. So Xiaomi was like a lifeline for you. You were like literally out of cash.
That's right. So we were literally out of cash. If Xiaomi did not happen, we would have probably sold our company to somebody. We had three acquisition offers at hand during the same time.
From what kind of companies?
I don't want to name them, but those are all large tech giants. And when Xiaomi came on board, they offered, you know, the guy just asked me one simple question. Do you want to run the company? And I said, yes. Given a chance, given an opportunity, I would still want to run the company. I don't want to sell. Selling is the compulsion for me, not a choice. Right. Then Xiaomi came forward and gave us the opportunity. They said, here's a $3 million, here's a commitment of 30 million devices that I'm going to preload your keyboard on. Let's see if you can make a business out of it. And we said, okay. And we'll take that as a challenge, and we'll take this as a lifeline for us, and we'll turn around the company. And we did turn around the company and created a $100 million company now.
Amazing. Okay. So when do you think it will be the right time for you to sell? Suppose, I mean, hypothetically, suppose there was a sale offer on the table, like when would it be the right time?
There is always a sale offer. I think tomorrow, if I want to sell, I can sell it at a pretty premium amount, and I can make probably 20, 30, 40 million for myself individually. Right. But that's not something we aspire to do. If we had to sell anytime in future, it would be a compulsion. It would not be a choice.
Like never, you're saying, basically, then your answer to my question.
Never. Never. I'm not saying that Bobble will never get sold. It might happen that we can sell it, but that would be a compulsion. We won't do it out of choice.
Got it. Okay. So what do you think is ahead in Bobble's journey?
Vision 2023 is to create a unicorn, and Vision 2025 is to launch an IPO.
So through a keyboard platform only, or are you also thinking of beyond keyboard?
We are a holistic platform now. Keyboard is a portfolio product. We call ourselves the Conversation Media Platform, where the mission is to enhance smartphone conversations. We make conversations more expressive, localized, personal, and smart, with innovations around typing, languages, voice, content, camera. Keyboard is a delivery channel for us, where we bundle all of these innovations and make it available to our users.
So isn't there there is a platform risk. Now you are on Google's platform at the end of the day. Now, so tomorrow Google could, like, for example, change the API, or it could copy your features, and isn't that like a major risk?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's equivalent to saying Google will tomorrow change the Google Maps API, and then Uber and Ola will die. It's equivalent to saying that. Bobble dying because of changing keyboard APIs is as much possible as Uber and Ola dying because of changing Google Maps API.
Okay. But the possibility of Google copying is there, no?
That's already happening. I mean, it's a law of the land. Anything, any good innovation that comes on reality, it gets copied, which is absolutely fine. It's normal.
But so what do you think will help you compete with Google on Google's own platform?
Like I mentioned, we have a secret sauce with our relationship with OEMs and telcos, and slowly and gradually we are eating away market share from Google. Google is not just Google, but other keyboard players out there as well. And we think that we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to build on our journey. We'll come out as a strong player independently.
So in a pie chart, like how big would be Bobble's share in terms of keyboard?
Right now, it could be in excess of 10%.
Global or in India?
In India.
Okay. And what do you see it becoming like?
It will be probably in excess of 50-60% because of some of the OEMs that we're working with who have this much market share.
Ah, okay. Okay. What are some of the names that you are like?
I mentioned Xiaomi, which itself has 30% market share. We are slowly and gradually being rolled out in Xiaomi devices, right? So 30% market share is given to us. There are other OEMs that I cannot name right now. It's confidential. But these are top five OEMs which have started working with us.
Are you also like in talks with the BBK group?
We are in talks with all the OEMs in the world. but there are certain big names which has been closed recently.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am looking forward to that. When are you going to announce?
Soon. Hopefully, once the product goes live, it's in the integration phase.
So that was Ankit Prasad telling Akshay Dutt all about his journey of growing and building Bobble. If you'd like to know more about Bobble, log on to bobble.ai. That's bobble.ai.
You like the Founder Thesis podcast? Then do check out our other shows on subjects like marketing, technology, career advice, books, and drama. Visit thepodium.in, that is thepodium.in, for a complete list of all our shows.
This episode of Founder Thesis Podcast is brought to you by Long Haul Ventures. Long Haul Ventures is the long haul partner for founders and startups that are building for the long haul. More about them is at www.longhaulventures.com.